Hello and welcome to Ag PhD Radio. I'm Darren Hefty.
And I'm Brian Hefty. Thanks for joining us today. On today's show, we're going to talk a little about fall nitrogen applications. If you've got any questions for us, or if you'd like to talk about anything happening in your farm right now, our number here is 844-44-AG-PHD. That's 844-442-4743. You can email us, radio@agphd.com, or send us a note on Twitter, AgPhdMedia, Darren Hefty, or Brian Hefty. I was just going to mention before we start talking about fall nitrogen, and we'll get to the AgPhd mailbag right away in our show as well, harvesting spots in fields and combine fires. So this is the driest fall that we've ever had in my lifetime. We're actually getting combine fires every day. It's terrible, and the guys are doing everything they can to prevent those, but it's just very unusual how dry we are. It's been over 2.5 months since we've had rain, and we're still harvesting some good crops. I mean, a lot of 55, 60 bushel beans, a lot of 200 to 220 bushel corn, other than on the sand where it's super sandy. We just have a few spots, then it's terrible for yield. But, you know, most of the stuff is pretty good. We actually had great subsoil moisture going into the season, coming off our two wettest years ever. We had good moisture all the way through. I think it was right after the 4th of July is when we got our last rain. And since then, we've had nothing. And you can really tell it out in the fields. But I was just going to say, harvesting spots in fields is something we haven't traditionally done much of, but we're doing a lot of that right now. And I would really encourage you, consider that on your farm, and here's why. Because if you harvest soybeans when they're 8% moisture, number one, you have a lot more field loss. And number two, you have a lot more what I would call hidden loss if you haul those beans to the elevator. Shrink in soybeans is roughly, they figure, 1.5% per point of moisture. So in other words, for each 1 point of moisture below 13, you lose 1.5% of your total bushels. So if you're at 8% beans instead of 13% beans, that's 5% fewer, or 5% lower on moisture than you could be, which means that's 7.5% fewer bushels you're hauling to the elevator. 7.5%. Think about that. 7.5%. So let's just pretend that for a second you've got a job in town and your employer comes to you and says, you know, just because I want to, I would like you to take a 7.5% salary decrease. How are you going to feel about that? Not real good. But in effect, that's what you're doing when you haul 8% beans to the elevator. So try to harvest them when they're wetter, and that may mean going out to spots and fields. And I know it's a pain. It takes extra time. We're doing it right now. The other thing you can do is get automatic bin fan controls and either harvest the beans wet and dry them with air down to 13%, or you can actually pump more air that has moisture in them. So if they are 8%, you put them in the bin, and hopefully a month later, they're at 13%. So you just want to be hauling 13% moisture beans to the elevator because that gives you the maximum bushels. All right, with fall nitrogen, I'll just give you my first couple of comments, and then we'll get into the Ag PhD mailbag. The first thing I would say is you need to know how much nitrogen your soil can really hold. So look at your cation exchange capacity, take that number times 10. That'll give you a rough idea on what your soil can hold. So we've got a lot of 20 cation exchange capacities here on our farm. So that's pretty heavy soil. 20 times 10 is 200 pounds of nitrogen. Now the next thing you got to look at is how cold is that soil? Because that nitrogen is going to start converting over to nitrate, and you're going to start losing it potentially if you get rain. Now, like for us, if we're not going to get rain, then I'm not worried about nitrogen loss at all as long as I put it down into the ground. Always keep in mind, there are three types of nitrogen loss. There's volatilization. That's when you lay it on the soil surface and it goes up in the air. Okay, but if you put it down in the ground, then the only two forms of losses you're worried about are leaching, and that's when you get rain and it pushes it down, or you get denitrification, and that's when, in a lot of cases, it's a heavy soil, it's sitting in water, it converts over to a gas, basically, and goes up in the air. So I'm obviously not worried about denitrification. If I put the nitrogen in the ground, I'm not worried about volatilization. All I'm really worried about is leaching. on our farm anyway. But I would just say you got to use some common sense. If your ground's still warm, there's no point in putting the nitrogen out. Do the best you can to be very late. Try to do it within a couple weeks of freeze-up, and then try to plant in the spring within a couple weeks of the spring thaw. That way you've got the very best chance to recover almost 100% of the nitrogen you put out in the fall. So anyway, we'll continue talking about fall nitrogen and stabilizers and rates and types and all kinds of things here on today's show. But right now, let's get to the Ag PhD mailbag.
It's now mailbag time with Brian and Darren. I got one from Andrew up in North Dakota. He said, you guys talk about ratios in some of your fertilizer recommendations and soil nutrients. Wondering about phosphorus to copper, if you have a ratio for that. Also, just wondering which are the most important ones that you're following for your farm. Well, Andrew, thanks for the question. We really appreciate that. And a lot of times when we talk about phosphorus, we're talking about phosphorus to zinc. But I know that that zinc-copper ratio is pretty important, too. It's not one, though, that we've been super worried about on our farm. We've been trying to build that copper ratio up as much as we can as
Wait,
we're building up
no,
zinc and phosphorus.
Not copper ratio. We've
or
been trying to build the copper parts per million and copper level up. Yes, absolutely. But, yes, we have run into this just a little bit, too. Here, I'll just give you an example. In 2018, more copper meant more yield in our corn. And so he said, oh, hey, let's put a little more copper on. So we did that. And guess what happened? Well, in 2019, it was the opposite. And more copper meant less yield. And I'm going, what? How can that be? We just last year proved the opposite. What's going on? And then I started looking at the ratios and I go, oh, now I get it. Our problem is really this. We have a poor phosphorus to copper ratio. We need to get our phosphorus levels up. So what is that exactly? Honestly, I don't remember off the top of my head. I'll look that up maybe during this break here, and we'll talk about it a little bit later in the show. But yeah, I mean, phosphorus to copper is important. You've got to have good phosphorus levels, and it only makes sense. Everybody knows you got to have decent phosphorus levels in your soil. But yeah, once you've got your micronutrients up, you can push the phosphorus even more. All right, we'll talk about fall nitrogen right after this.
Are you combining around weed patches, waiting for weeds to dry down, or tired of spring burndown failures? Save time, nutrients, and moisture by including a Valor herbicide brand in your fall burndown program. Valor provides excellent residual control of tough weeds, including kochia, marestail, prickly lettuce, dandelion, plus suppression of bromes. Proactive, effective weed resistance management starts in the fall. Get a clean start for your next season with Valor herbicide brands. Always read and follow label directions.
You would never plant seed or apply herbicide with a 20% success rate. So why are you still applying phosphorus fertilizer with a maximum availability of only 20%? Double your phosphate availability and increase yields with NutriCharge from AgroTech USA. NutriCharge's patent-pending technology protects phosphorus from negative chemical reactions that tie up your fertilizer investment. NutriCharge performs across all soil types and pHs. Contact AgroTech USA or your local Van Deese supply representative today.
Success isn't just about maintaining your operation, how you make out for the season, or how much you can get from each acre. It's about doing precisely what needs to be done to feed your crop and grow your legacy, all the way down to the last drop. AgroLiquid Precision Crop Nutrition. Apply less, expect more. Find a retailer at agroliquid.com.
When it comes to commanding herbicide formulations, you know Nufarm. Nufarm brings you Panther SC, an animal when it comes to speed of control and long residual on a broad spectrum of tough broadleaf weeds like marestail, Palmer amaranth, and water hemp. And did we mention convenience? Panther SC works in pre-plant, pre-emerge, and post-harvest systems and keeps your rotation options open. Nufarm and Panther SC, here to help.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio, talking about, I know we're a little early here, but we're talking about fall nitrogen. I think it's good to get out in front of these things because as harvest is a little bit early in some areas, sometimes we think, well, As soon as I'm done harvesting, I got to get to that next job, and getting some fall nitrogen out there is normally what I would do. But normally might have been mid-November, not early October. So we got Anthony Bly with us right now with South Dakota State University. Anthony, do you find that happening at all on farms that you deal with, that they just kind of get used to doing things in a certain order, in a certain way, and it's hard to deviate?
Sure do. Yep, that happens a lot, Darren.
Well, I know even for our own farm, too, sometimes we're doing things. It's like, oh, okay, this is the next step. But we've really got to stop and think about, well, what kind of year have we got? And what's the date on the calendar? Because I hope the snow isn't going to come a month early just because harvest got started early.
Well, you know, it's 2020 and weirder things could happen, but we hope it doesn't come. I agree.
Okay, so let's talk about fall nitrogen, and I know obviously there's a lot of things going on this year with dry conditions, and we are getting some of those questions from areas where growers are saying, okay, I'm abnormally dry. How does that change what I'm going to do when it's time to put on fall nitrogen?
Well, I'd be really concerned about anhydrous ammonia myself. We need an ample supply of water in the soil to hydrolyze that ammonia, and if that's not there, that ammonia can stay as a gas, and it can slowly or rapidly leak out of the soil. We've got a lot of cracks in the soil this year, and it's going to be hard to seal up the soil. So I'd be very cautious with those anhydrous ammonia applications.
You know, we talk about that a lot, that anhydrous is generally the source a lot of these growers are going to, including our farm. And back years back, we used to do a lot of anhydrous ammonia. But when you think about some of the other sources of nitrogen that you could put out, we're going to get that question too. Well, I might not do anhydrous then. What do you think about some other things? Are there other sources of N that could potentially be used in the fall?
Well, you know, if we think about the 4 hours of nutrient use, and timing is critical, and, you know, fall application of nitrogen is way out there. And you know, if you're going to do that, you know, we want to make sure those soils are cooled down in the fall, and that we've slowed that bacterial, that microbial process, and we keep it as urea or ammonium. And then it's somewhat safe from moving through the soil. But this year, it's the opposite. We're so dry. You know, I'm not too worried about volatilization. It takes the urease enzyme and the water. And this year, we're lacking the water. So, but we have seen some really slow, small losses over extended dry periods of time. And that little tenth or 0.2 pounds loss per day over 100 days adds up all of a sudden, and we got issues. So, you know, these dry conditions just maybe we need to rethink our battle plan and go from there.
Get some growers that are getting some early soil sampling work done and seeing more nitrogen left in the soil. Now, obviously, if you had low yields and you put on a bunch of nitrogen expecting normal yields, you're probably going to have a little bit left. But I had a grower that has done a little bit of work on mineralization. He said, man, we must have really had a lot of mineralization on nitrogen this year due to the excess heat. Is that something that you would expect to see as well?
Well, I would want to couple that. Yes, in certain places, I think that's true. And those areas are, you know, coupled with the heat and moisture and the timing of that moisture. You know, those microbes don't like it too wet and they don't like it too dry. And so if it's a perfect scenario, those are the years that we can get that mineralization done. And we got to think, we followed 2019. That was very, very wet. And, you know, we didn't get a lot last year because of the extreme wet conditions. And so somehow it all balances out. And this year, or parts of this year in some places, could have happened for sure.
Let's talk about another thing that I know gets brought into the discussion on nitrogen, and that's crop residue. When we have a year like 2020, and certainly where you're at, Anthony, in our home state of South Dakota, It's dry. It's dry in many of the areas, and growers are wondering, well, what do I do with fall management? This ground is really, really firm in a lot of the fields, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Are you changing up recommendations on fall residue management?
Well, I would want to leave that in place as much as possible. That's your armor. That's your insulation for any moisture we do get. That'll help keep it in the soil. If we let that residue go or try to get rid of it, we obviously decrease that opportunity with that. And I'm really concerned that if we open these soils up, they're going to blow this winter if these conditions do continue. And right now, the ground may seem really hard because it's dry, and then that's the way it is. But, the drying cycle itself, the wet and drying cycle, does more for breaking up compaction because of the clay shrinking and swelling than a frost does. And so we're in that dry cycle right now where that clay is contracted and it's very hard. I think once we turn the corner and start getting some more moisture, I think we'll find our soils are going to soften up. And but I'm just concerned about losses due to erosion, and I just think we should leave our residues in place. Keep them intact as much as possible and protect what we have.
Yeah, I'm kind of concerned about that too. And I think the other thing, in addition to being above normal temperatures, our wind has been pretty strong this harvest season too. And it's not a good combination out there, that's for sure.
No, and that's why I'm really leaning towards that. Just leave things in place, because I think if these conditions do persist, of course, we do not know the future, but the drought can break any time. But
and let's hope it does.
Let's hope it does. We could take 5-6 inches really fast here.
I think so too.
And
it's amazing how that happens. It does happen sometimes where all of a sudden it opens up, and when it does, it goes pretty good. And yep. I know coming out of 2012, I think we had 4 inches of rain come almost all at once, and it just completely soaked in. I think we're back to that spot again where we could take some big rains like that.
Absolutely. The tile lines, the most part, have stopped. Some of the bigger ones are probably still trickling a little bit, but our landscape is dried out. And one thing about leaving the soil intact, those big cracks are conduits for water to go down in the profile where we need it to go, because seasonal rains next year will moisten up our surfaces too. So those cracks are kind of our friend, when it comes to that big rain that comes.
Yeah, certainly a different fall. We're talking with Anthony Bly here with South Dakota State University. Anthony, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on, and good luck to you here this harvest season.
Yes, you too. Good talking to you, Darren.
You bet. Talking about fall nitrogen on our show today, and I think Anthony had a good point. It's sometimes easy to get caught up in these ruts where we continue to do things the same way. This is probably your, depending on what the weather is and how the soils are in your area and what pace harvest is at, to change some things up.
Well, here's the other thing. Just because we're talking about you got to be really careful with fall nitrogen and maybe not even do it, that does not go for P and K and zinc and copper and a bunch of these other nutrients. So it may be good to decouple that instead of trying to do one application of all the fertilizer I need for my whole farm. Start splitting it up a little bit. That's what we do a lot of on our farm. We're doing most of our nitrogen in the spring, and then we do a fair amount relatively early in the growing season too, basically split applying it. That's a more efficient way to get the bang for our buck. And back when Darren and I were growing up on the farm, our dad just said, hey, I'm going to put an extra 20, 30, 40 pounds out in the fall because I know I'm going to lose it. Well, environmentally, that's not great, and that's not what we want to do today. We got to be really careful and efficient with our nitrogen. We'll continue talking about that right after this.
You need a powerful herbicide to fight the war on weeds. Vellum is Rotem North America's mesotrione herbicide, and it fights against the annual broadleaf weeds attacking your cornfields. Winning this battle means higher yields, lower cost to you, and maximized profitability. For long-lasting residual weed control, check out Evinco Vilify and our newest mix, Rixa. For application, flexibility, and season-long control, that's Evinco Vilify and Rixa, powered by Vellum. For more information, visit vellumherbicide.com. That's Bellum herbicide.com.
I need the solve without the sell.
With NK Seeds, I get people I trust who show me where their hybrids and varieties fit in my field without the heavy sell.
So I get solutions that solve my problems from a partner who knows that success matters.
Find your solve at nkseeds.com.
You deserve to have a building that will last for generations. With more than 110 years of experience and thousands of satisfied customers, Morton Buildings is the industry leader you can trust. Unlike other construction companies, you work with Morton Buildings craftsmen from conception to completion. There's no better time to buy. Lock in your new building for 2020 today. Contact your local Morton sales office or visit mortonbuildings.com.
Customer service goes a long way when trying something new. Ryan Shaw from Michigan shares how Soil Warrior helped him transition to strip tillage in his operation.
The Soil Warrior guys, they are amazing to work with. They made this jump in this transition extremely painless. One question that I get all the time is, how is the service and everything? And I said, well, actually, I get better service from them than I typically do my dealers uptown. They're just amazing.
More info at soilwarrior.com.
As a little girl, I always wanted to run the combine because it meant I was helping Dad. And Dad always said, farmers are helpers. I'm teaching that to my daughters, that farmers help our family, our neighbors, and our community. It's what I do at work. I help farmers get the equipment they need. My name is Kim. I'm a farmer, and I work for Case IH.
Case IH, built by farmers.
The Pentair Hypro Express Flush Valve reduces plugged nozzles and improves cleanout of your spray boom. Simply flush boom sections with a quarter-turn ball valve and leave your tools in the cab. Plus, installation is easy. Simply remove the existing end cap plug and replace with the Hypro Express Flush Valve. Learn more at pentair.com/hypro.
Make every bushel count with the End Zone Bin Fan Control System from Farm Shop MFG. Harvesting soybeans too dry causes shatter loss in the field and revenue loss from shrink when you go to market. Condition your grain for ideal moisture with the End Zone. Visit farmshopmfg.com for more.
You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us today. Talking a little bit early in most areas about fall nitrogen, but just getting our ducks in a row here, getting prepared for changing conditions. We were talking about how dry it is in some parts of the country and just some of the considerations you may have there. Obviously, we've got some time before we're looking to do this in most cases, so you can watch how conditions change and adjust. I got Brooks on with us right now, who does a lot of anhydrous down in Missouri. Want to talk to him a little bit. How you doing, Brooks?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Good. Okay, so here's how our show's gone so far. Brian talked about if we're doing nitrogen in the fall, we're definitely doing anhydrous. And then we were talking with Anthony Bly at South Dakota State University. And he said, man, we are so dry. I'm nervous about it staying as a gas and us losing things. What are you seeing? What are conditions like down in Missouri? And what would you say about dry years and how you change things up?
Well, the conditions are, they're kind of dry right now. We started off the year pretty wet. We had more rain in July than I can ever remember, and then it shut off. I can't remember the last rain we got. You know, it was the first day or two of August, and then I guess we got 2 inches there a couple weeks ago, but we are awfully dry. And so, we're kind of in the same boat with that. But, it could change. We're still probably a month and a half, 2 months out from really thinking about anhydrous. So, a lot can change in 2 months.
Absolutely. It can change. Well, like you mentioned, you caught a couple inch rain a couple weeks ago. Now, it wasn't enough to get everything back to great shape, but it sure helped. And if you got another couple of those in the next 2 months, it might be a different story here. How are things going on your farm? When do you get into harvest in Missouri, in your part of Missouri, I should say?
tomorrow.
Oh, good.
We're waiting for, there's guys going all around us. There's some beans actually combined, and we'll probably start with some corn, but we're just waiting for it to dry down. It was 19 the other day, 20 maybe, and we're going to wait for it to dry down. 17, 18 is when we like to start. We don't have any LP. We just use air, so we like it a little bit drier in the field before we combine.
Sure. What are guys saying for yields where you're at?
I haven't actually heard any yields. I think from just looking at things, the corn, I think we're going to have a pretty good corn crop. Like I said, it rains. We got good rains all through the corn growing season. And the beans, they missed out on the rain. So I don't know that we're going to have a very good bean crop. But I haven't heard any guys talking yields. But I think we're going to have a decent corn crop. Beans, I don't think so. But,
Yeah, you never know until you get out in the field and get going, that's for sure. We're talking to Brooks down in Missouri. Now, Brooks, when we talk about anhydrous in the fall, what are some of the guidelines that you use with your growers? Do you have a lot of people requesting variable rate technology now? Are they putting on 100% of their needs, 50% of their needs? What is a typical strategy around you?
The customers that we have, we do put on 100% of their nitrogen, and it's all anhydrous. We don't have anything. We don't even have InServ yet. So we're just a small company, but we do 100% of everyone that we have, and we put all of ours on actually in the fall. You heard you guys talking about fall application, and like I said, we put all of ours on in the fall simply because that's when we have time to do it.
Sure. Yeah, it's one of those things. I know on our farm too, we look at what kind of ground do we want to have fall nitrogen on, what kind of ground do we not, and we've got some floodable ground that of course we'll avoid, but the hilltops and well-drained fields, we know for sure we're going to be in there early, and we aren't too concerned about loss in those particular environments compared to if we've got some river bottom ground, et cetera. I would assume kind of the same management thing there?
Yes, that's the same way. Like you said, the hills, they don't leach out very, this year, when we had so much rain in the spring and early summer, there actually are some spots, in terrace channels and inside hills that were a little more damp. You could tell 2-3 weeks ago when the corn was just starting to turn that they were really turned a lot quicker. But other than that, like you said, the hills, they hold the anhydrous a lot better. And the river bottoms, we tried to put it on a little heavier. I know they were saying, you hate to put it on heavier in the fall because you lose it, but that's kind of our strategy in the fall on the river bottoms.
Yeah, it's different depending on where you're at and what you have for resources. And we're talking with Brooks about anhydrous a little bit and how things are done down in Missouri. Well, Brooks, good luck to you here as you get going on harvest. I know we've certainly got the fall to get the dry down out in the field. So kudos to you, I guess, for taking advantage of that. And good luck. Stay safe.
Well, thank you. You guys as well.
Talking about fall nitrogen on our show, and obviously it's a little early for this to be going on, but we're just kind of talking about what the situations are going into this fall and some considerations farmers should have. Real happy to have Fabian Fernandez on with us right now with the University of Minnesota. Fabian, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, I know it's way, way, way too early to talk about fall nitrogen, but we like to be ahead of these things because a lot of times we end up with guys that get into the same routine, doing things the same way. But there's some new nitrogen regulations going on in Minnesota, and just want to talk about that a little bit and get growers prepared for that. If they hadn't read up on it, hadn't studied up on what's happening there, can you talk to us about that a little bit, Fabian?
Yes, so the new regulations that Minnesota Department of Agriculture put in place, they started this fall, so they are already as a requirement, as a law, and it's basically for focus on soils that have a lot of potential for nitrogen loss, so sandy soils or soils that have karst topography, like in the southeast part of the state, and then there are pockets, across the state in different areas, but it's mostly related to areas where groundwater contamination of nitrates is a problem, so where you have a lot of drainage potential in those soils.
You know, that's an important thing to talk about with farmers in terms of where what soils can handle things and what ones you're taking a lot more risk in. And you mentioned those lighter soils. And I know many times our listeners from different parts of the country will hear us talk about Minnesota and they'll say, oh, no, they've got heavy black soil. That's not the case in all areas. It really does vary across the state.
That's correct. Yes, there are, you know, we have the central sands, for instance, that are it's not a huge, huge portion of the state, but it's, you know, substantial and very productive acres in the state, you know, about 500,000 acres or so of very light, very sandy soils that are highly susceptible to nitrate leaching.
Now, when we think about fall manure applications, this is probably where we get more questions around this of, all right, so you've got livestock production in some of these areas that you're talking about that are certainly risky areas for fall application. What are the guidelines for the guys that have fall manure and trying to pick and choose where to put it and when to put it out?
Yeah, so this is always a difficult situation, right, because you have to apply the manure, you have so much storage and you have to do the application. And so what I suggest is definitely look at your acres and figure out where is the best place to put that manure in the fall. Also in terms of temperatures, you know, waiting until the temperatures in the soil are cold or cool. You know, we talk about 50 degrees and going down at the point of injection, so about 6 inches in the soil. And we recognize that there is still potential for nitrification at that point because the bacteria that nitrifies, you know, they continue to work until the soils freeze, but obviously we had to have the ability to apply that nitrogen or that manure into the field. So waiting until temperatures are 50 and going down is important. And then in terms of land, yes, look at areas in the field where you have lower potential for loss. So if you have a soil that is highly, you know, has high potential for drainage, those are not the best candidates, or really low-laying areas in the field where you can have waterlogged conditions that create denitrification issues.
Well, we've certainly seen some of those challenges over the years, no doubt about that. Reason for some rule changes and law changes in the state of Minnesota. Talking with Fabian Fernandez with the University of Minnesota. Fabian, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on.
Yeah, thank you.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
You're all set with the 4x4 turbo diesel truck. How about some options? Spray and bed liner?
Absolutely.
Tailgate step and Nerf bars?
Gotta have them.
Tie down hooks and stainless steel toolbox?
You know it.
Tinted windows?
Of course.
Options are good. That's as true in the field as it is with your pickup. In addition to taking care of tough weeds, new Open Sky herbicide gives you more rotational choices than ever before and an easy-to-handle formulation.
Gooseneck tow package?
Yep.
Discover more Open Sky details at openskyherbicide.com.
Acre to acre, year to year, generation to generation, nobody scrutinizes performance like you do. And acre to acre, year to year, generation to generation, the consistent performance of Asgrow brand soybeans helps to keep your profitability out in front, offering leading agronomic expertise and 100% exclusive genetics for strong yield potential. Ask your dealer how much further you can grow when Asgrow leads the way. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Make every bushel count with the Endzone Bin Fan Control System from Farm Shop MFG. Harvesting soybeans too dry causes shutter loss in the field and revenue loss from shrink when you go to market. With the Endzone, you can combine higher moisture beans earlier in the season to reduce field loss, then use your bin fans to naturally reach your target moisture. Condition your grain for maximum profit with the Endzone. For more information, visit farmshopmfg.com.
If you're looking to get the most out of your foliar nutrition and fungicide programs, ask your ag retailer about Nutex EDA from Sipcam Agro. Nutex EDA has been proven to increase foliar micronutrient tissue levels and maintain those levels for an extended period of time. When tank mixed with fungicides, Nutex EDA helps support plant health, resulting in higher quality and yields. Nutex EDA is an affordable and effective solution that should be part of every grower's high-yield toolbox.
Get tough on herbicide-resistant weeds. Add Tough 5-EC into your post-emergence tank mix and increase control of some of the toughest-to-kill herbicide-resistant weeds that plague corn, such as Palmer amaranth and water hemp. Tough 5-EC is a selective contact herbicide with an underutilized mode of action that provides faster kill and application flexibility for post-emergence control of key broadleaf weeds. Ask your local retailer about Tough 5-EC or visit BelchamUSA.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
What's the next big thing from the Roundup Ready Extend crop system? A soybean built on Roundup Ready to Extend technology, or one with glufosinate tolerance? Great news, it's both. Expected soon. Extend Flex Soybeans. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions. Commercial availability in 2021 is dependent on regulatory approval. No dicamba may be used in crop with Extend Flex Soybeans unless and until approved. And no dicamba formulations are currently registered for such use in the 2021 season. Learn more at extendflexsoy.com.
Listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're talking about fall nitrogen application that will be happening later on this fall and some of the things that are changing out there. We had Fabian Fernandez on talking about some of the changes, some of the law changes in the state of Minnesota. And if you're farming in that area, certainly check that out online. There's a lot of good resources there about where they're implementing some of these changes, what all the specifics are. But he did talk about the fall manure application too, that, man, you got to get the fall manure out there, and you've just got to pick and choose your spots where you can do it in the most responsible way.
Yeah, and we're big believers in getting fertilizer out in the fall. And if you want to do some nitrogen in the fall, I don't have a big problem with that. Just try to do it as late as you can. And then, like I was saying earlier, do it on ground where you're going to plant it early in the spring. If you aren't sure that you're going to plant in the spring because it might flood out, that's not ground I'm typically going to put nitrogen on. If it's ground where you say, well, I'm going to plant it, but it's going to be 2 months after the spring thaw, then I'm also not going to put fall nitrogen out there. That's way too much time for weeds to use it up for leaching to happen, or denitrification for that matter. So I'm not going to do it. Nitrogen costs a lot of money, and I would rather put it on when I feel very confident that I'm going to get it used. But again, you know, if you just follow a couple of simple rules, I mean, putting it on in the fall, I don't have any big issue with. If you're going to do it in the fall, I would use ammonium sulfate or I would use anhydrous ammonia. I am not going to use liquid 28% unless it's only a little bit. If you're spraying a little on, like on top of the stalks, maybe 20 gallons or something just to help break the stalks down faster, that's no problem because that's literally going to get tied up in that high carbon residue. So that's no big deal. You're not going to lose that. But what I'm talking about is, let's say you want to put 200 pounds of nitrogen on, you're going to do it with liquid nitrogen or urea, and you're going to do it in the fall. No way. I'm not taking that kind of risk. You're going to lose too much of that, is my fear. So anhydrous, fine. Ammonium sulfate, fine. Very tiny low rates of, you know, 28%, or let's say it's even MAP or DAP. I mean, they have nitrogen in there. Am I worried about putting that tiny little bit out in the fall? No, it's no big deal. But yeah, you start putting lots of pounds, hundreds of pounds out in the fall, you gotta have a good plan and put it in the right spot. All right, Darren, let's jump back to the Ag PhD mailbag. What you got for our next question?
All right, this one comes from Corn Weed Farmer in South Carolina, and he said, my current program for weed control is just not working. I've got Roundup resistant pigweed, I've got Morning Glory, Sickle Pod, Texas Panicum, Cocklebur, and he says, among other weeds. So I'm going to guess it's one of those. I've got all of them. We ask a lot of farmers, well, what weeds are we trying to fight here? All of them. So, okay, so he's got a bunch of them and some tough ones in there. He said, currently spraying 2 quarts of atrazine post-emerge 2 weeks after planting, followed by Roundup at 2 quarts per acre 6 weeks after planting. And what's happening is weeds are breaking late in the season, and I'm having trouble. And I've got neighbors with cotton and peanuts right around me, so I've really got to be careful about drift.
Sure. Okay, so the first thing is, I am going to look at a much better pre than just atrazine. Now, let me preface all this by saying what you have for a program.
You're spraying that 2 weeks after planting over the top.
Right. Oh, sorry. Okay. So it's an all post program. So I would use a pre to begin with. But I'm just going to preface everything I'm going to say here by saying you've got a super cheap program. What I'm going to propose to you is going to cost you a lot more money. But if you can control the weeds, that almost always leads to higher yields. And here's the other thing you got to think about. If weeds go to seed, now it is going to be even harder and cost even more money to control those in the future. So, you know, okay, if it's your very last year farming a piece of ground, and I'm not going to recommend that you treat somebody's ground this way, but if you're renting it and it's your very last year there, then I get it where you say, well, it's not really economical, it's, you know, to get every last weed under control. You're right for that year, but you're not right when you look at the grand scheme of things and weed control over the next 5 years. You got to get every weed controlled. Otherwise, sooner or later, you're going to pay the price. Anyway, what I would suggest, if this is corn that we're talking about here, obviously, I would probably go down with Verdict. That's Outlook plus Sharpen. Now, there are a lot of products out there. So, I mean, we have a lot of people that use Triple Flex or SureStar. We have people that use just the straight Group 15s. We have people that will throw out an HPPD pre-emerge. But if it's me and you, I heard the weeds you're after, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go Verdict at 10 ounces. Then I'm going to come early post with an HPPD. That would be something like Callisto, Laudis, Impact, Armazon, one of those. That costs like $3 an acre for the full rate, together with a Group 15 again. So get a second shot of Group 15 out there. And by Group 15s, I'm talking Outlook, Harness, Surpass, Dual, Zidua, one of those. So you're going to get another shot early post. And then I'm probably going to come back later with my Roundup. Now, I mean, you could certainly throw the Roundup in with the HPPD and the Group 15 if you want to try to get by with, okay, I'm just going to do this and that's it. And hopefully that does it. Great. But if you feel like you need a shot, and quite frankly, you could do that. I should take this back. You should probably throw the Roundup in then. And worst case scenario, if you need Roundup later, you still have that option. You can always go two shots of Roundup on the corn. So that's probably what I would do. And most likely that's going to solve a lot of your problems. Now, one other thing that I got to tell you, though, is cultural practices make a huge difference on weed control. So you want to have great fertility. You want to have a great stand. You want to have a thick stand. You want that crop growing and being as healthy as possible, because never forget that the very best weed killer out there is always crop canopy. It's better than any herbicide that has ever been invented or will ever be invented. So get great crop canopy, and then generally speaking, after that point, you're home free.
All right, thanks for the questions. Really appreciate that. And good luck. Hopefully next year you won't be the corn weed farmer. You'll be the formerly known as corn weed farmer. Okay, I get this from Jared in Indiana, and he said, I've got some questions for you. We run non-GMO soybeans because we're getting a really nice premium over the board and want to continue doing that. We've used the 3-pre strategy with great success. This year it held for a little better than two months.
Wait, you're not totally truthful in that, Darren. It's not the 3-pre program. Read what he put down. Fierce plus
MTZ and Trifluralin.
Oh, Fierce MTZ?
Fierce MTZ.
Oh, I thought it was just Fierce. Nope. Okay, Fierce I misread MTZ. That. Okay, then we're good, but okay. Go ahead.
So it's Fierce MTZ and Trifluralin. Unfortunately, the water hemp broke, and we learned that we have confirmed PPO resistance on our farm. My uncle wants to continue running these non-GMOs, so here's what our strategy is going to be. We're going to use a cover crop, and we're going to put a light rate of nitrogen on in the fall to try and encourage weed germination to get better winter kill of some of the weeds we've got out there. Then we're going to do some tillage in the spring. We're going to apply sulfentrazone or Authority.
PPO, yep.
We're going to put on pyroxasulfone, that's Zidua, right?
Yep.
Metribuzin, glyphosate, and Trifluralin 2 weeks prior to planting. Then we're going to plant 15-inch rows.
I don't understand why it's 2 weeks prior to planting. If it was me, I'd do it the day I'm going to plant or the day before. So that's one of the reasons why you ran out of steam, because these things don't last forever, and that's too early. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Well, that would be something to think about.
Yep.
Then he said, we're going to plant 15-inch rows, try and get more crop canopy.
Yep.
Then we're going to use some in-furrow starter to try to get our crop up quicker.
Be careful with that.
Yep.
Gallon or less, and use some biologicals. Go ahead.
Okay, which he's going to do. And then he said, post-emerge, our plan was to run FlexStar, a little more Zidua, Outlook, yep, and a generic fungicide. I'll just say this. Zidua and Outlook don't have burn down on weeds that are up. And if you're applying just FlexStar hoping to get your weeds, you're going to have some trouble. I think it's okay on water hemp, which is what your main weed is, but you may want something else in there to help with a little bit more, like maybe a Pursuit or a First Rate to broaden that weed spectrum.
Yes, possibly. Did you read the weed spectrum he had? I don't think so.
Mostly water hemp is what he said.
Well, if it's water hemp, then yeah, the Pursuit's not going to help you out at all. But that's exactly, you have almost exactly the program that I would do, except for this. I wouldn't put any Zidua out early. I'd just go the sulfentrazone, metribuzin, and trifluralin. Then I'd take your Zidua and put that later. You can use Zidua or Outlook, Warrant, whatever you want, together with that FlexStar. Then you still have Cobra and some other options a little bit later. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
A history of success means proven performance. But let's call performance what it is. Profitability. And boosting yours, no matter what the season brings, is the goal of DeKalb brand corn. Backed by exclusive genetics, whole farm solutions, and unmatched dealer support, let nothing shake your perseverance. Ask your dealer how DeKalb brand corn can help you realize a future of performance. Always read and follow IRA where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Each year brings new and unique challenges to farming, and your operation needs to constantly adapt to meet them. That's why at AgBiome, we're working every day to bring you new and better solutions. Microbial-based solutions that protect your crop and help it reach its full potential. To learn more about how we're doing it, visit agbiome.com. That's AGBIOME.com. AgBiome, feeding the world responsibly. Partnering with microbes for human benefit.
Hey, Adam, new drone?
Not just any drone. I mounted a laser on it to take out weeds.
Look out for that tree.
In the power lines! Oh, it's heading for the house.
There's a simpler way to protect spring wheat from weeds. Perfect Match Herbicide. The broadest spectrum weed and grass control in one product. Learn more at PerfectMatchHerbicide.com. Always read and follow label directions.
The laser.
Are you combining around weed patches, waiting for weeds to dry down, or tired of spring burndown failures? Save time, nutrients, and moisture by including a Valor herbicide brand in your fall burndown program. Valor provides excellent residual control of tough weeds, including kochia, marestail, prickly lettuce, dandelion, plus suppression of bromes. Proactive, effective weed resistance management starts in the fall. Get a clean start for your next season with Valor herbicide brands. Always read and follow label directions.
Success isn't just about maintaining your operation, how you make out for the season, or how much you can get from each acre. It's about doing precisely what needs to be done to feed your crop and grow your legacy, all the way down to the last drop. AgroLiquid Precision Crop Nutrition. Apply less, expect more. Find a retailer at agroliquid.com.
Revitec fungicide from BASF has been specifically developed for the selective soybean grower who doesn't compromise. If you think good is good enough, if you're okay with just achieving rather than overachieving, if average is your goal, this is not the fungicide for you. Revitec fungicide, brand new chemistry, 3 no-excuse modes of action, 0 modes of compromise. Sounds like the fungicide for you. Revitec fungicide from BASF, that's smart. Always read and follow label directions.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're right in the middle of the Ag PhD mailbag now, taking your calls and agronomic questions at 844-44-AG-PHD. You can also send us an email, radio@agphd.com.
Hey, what was that very first question we had today? And I said, oh, I can maybe look something up. Oh, it was the ratios. That's what it was.
Yeah.
So it was the ratios.
Phosphorus
of,
and copper was.
Yeah, Andrew's they were talking question. Phosphorus and copper. Yeah, I forgot. I did look that up on just a couple of things that we had on our farm. So specifically when I was looking at our weak Bray, so P1 phosphorus level. So that's available phosphorus. Phosphorus in the P1 to copper ratio, the right ratio, what we found after harvest, was about 30 to 1, 40 to 1, somewhere in that kind of range. That's where our best yields came from. When we were less than that, our yields were less. And I mean, our yields were a lot less in some cases. You got to make sure you have enough phosphorus. And this was after the season. So what I would tell you, and going back to that very first question we had of the day, is like phosphorus to copper, I'm looking at 30 to 1 to 40 to 1. And again, that's the P1 or weak Bray to copper ratio. And that copper test was a DTPA test. So I know I'm getting a little bit, this is sounding a little complicated, but I just want to make sure I'm clarifying what I'm saying here. And this is after harvest. So I'm going to put on whatever crop removal is, so grain removal of my crop, plus I want to make sure that after that gets removed, my soil is still at a 30 to 1 or 40 to 1 ratio of phosphorus to copper. So don't be thinking that, well, I've got 3 parts per million of copper, that's bad. No, that's fantastic. That's what I want. Copper is considered the disease nutrient. If you don't have good levels of copper, you're going to have more disease. That's a fact. So I got to have the copper out there. What this is telling you is just get your phosphorus levels up and quit listening to these people that'll tell you that, oh, 10 parts per million of phosphorus is sufficient. That's ridiculous. Get your phosphorus levels up. Phosphorus isn't going anywhere. It's not like you're going to lose it or anything like that. Just put it out in the soil. Get your levels right, and then you're going to have a lot better yields and make a lot more money. In terms of other nutrient ratios, I mean, there are a lot of them that we could talk about. I'll just mention this other one, and it's phosphorus to zinc. And here again, I'm going to give you an after harvest ratio because this is what we have. You got to look at what's your grain removal on top of that. But after harvest, we're looking at 8 to 1 phosphorus to zinc, maybe 10 to 1. And again, I'm talking P1 phosphorus to zinc on a DTPA test. So 8 to 1, 10 to 1, somewhere in that kind of range, that's where we've had the best yields. And when we go the opposite direction, and I just mean, okay, let's say it's 4 to 1. Or let's say it's 30 to 1, then we see the yields go down. It's really interesting. And if you haven't looked at this stuff on your farm, we've talked about this 2 or 3 times here in the last couple of months. Please do it. You've got the data on your farm. You have yield monitor data. You hopefully have soil test grid information. Compare the two. Now, if all you're doing for soil tests is composite testing, don't even waste your money on soil testing. You're learning bad information. That's all you're getting. Don't do one sample in an 80 acre field. That's not going to help you at all. So if you say, well, I don't want to spend a lot of money on soil testing, I'm going to help you prove to yourself that it's worth it. Okay, so do this for me. Take that 80 acre field and split it in two. Take 40 acres and literally do 1 acre grids. And I'm not saying you have to do this every year. Just do it one time. Okay, one time. You got 40 acres, and then you take the other 40 and you do a composite sample across that 40. And then you fertilize accordingly and variable rate on the 40 acres where you did the 1 acre grids. And then you take the other side and you just do it based on the composite test. And then you continue to fertilize based on that soil test information that you just got. And you continue to fertilize and use the information for the next 4 years. And over the 4 years, you see what kind of yields you have on each side of the field. And I will promise you, you are going to make more money on the side where you do the 1 acre grids one time. Just do it. And then on top of that, what you've got is now you've got 40 spots where you can compare your yield to the soil test data, and then you can get the same information that I've got right here on my own farm that's telling me, hey, dummy, put on more phosphorus, okay? Instead of me having to listen to some expert somewhere or your fertilizer dealer who you go, well, I don't know, maybe he's just trying to sell me something. No, you have your own data. It's going to help you so much, and all you have to do is just at least do it one time, and you're going to learn a lot.
All right.
Can I be more impassioned about that? Anyway, go ahead. Let's move on.
All right.
You had a weed control question.
Got one? No, I want to get to this one first. Ahead. We got one from Chip over in Minnesota, West Central Minnesota, and he said, "Could you talk about sudden death syndrome in soybeans? What is there, if anything, that could be done to prevent it? Hey, Chip, thanks for the question. Really appreciate that. Yeah, we're seeing sudden death syndrome going up western Minnesota, all the way up into the Red River Valley, up in the eastern North Dakota and western Minnesota range. And wow, it's moved a lot farther than I've ever seen it before. A couple of things going on. One, it likes cool, wet soils at planting time, so you get an infection into the plant early. Another thing that it likes is compaction, which coming out of a couple of pretty wet years through your region, there's more compaction out there than there normally would be. So if we can improve drainage, which is going to allow more air into the soil and take out excess water, that will help warm soils faster. The other thing you could do is you could plant later. But here's the problem with planting later into warm, dry soils is that you're often giving up some yield versus planting a little bit earlier. A lot of the studies will show, and a lot of farmers that you'll probably talk to in your area, including possibly you, have found that planting earlier generally helps. So if you're going to plant earlier, here's what you can do. You can use a seed treatment like Saltro or Olivo. They're going to cost a little bit of money, but it's roughly a bushel of soybeans. So a bushel to maybe a bushel and a half. I guess you have to talk to your local providers and see what they would charge. But you put Saltro or Olivo on the seed, we see less sudden death syndrome later because what they're going to do is prevent that infection early in the season. And then as soon as you get to the stressful times later in July and August, that's when we see the SDS show up. So do what you can to improve drainage, do what you can to reduce compaction, and then utilize Saltro or Olivo on the seed. And then the final thing is variety selection is a big, big deal. So look at the varieties that you've got. Look for varieties that are more tolerant to sudden death syndrome. The challenge is going to be with the new Enlist trait and also this new Extend Flex trait that's coming. They aren't great on SDS, especially in the maturities that you're going to plant in West Central Minnesota. So take a look at that. Talk to your seed provider. See if you can find a good variety and get it treated with Saltro or Olivo.
On top of that, what do you think about planting corn for a couple of years? How much do you think that'll help?
Well, you can do it. I guess I don't know if you're going to completely get away from it, though, Brian. I'm
just saying I believe that will help you a little bit.
Sure. Crop rotation can certainly help. Thanks for the question, Chip. We appreciate that. Got a weed control question in sunflowers. This is from David in Alabama. He said, I've got a couple sunflower fields. We've got some sickle pod and Cisbania problems. Here's what I've done. I put down trifluralin and incorporated it. I've planted clear field flowers so I can spray Beyond type product over the top. And what's happening to me is late in the season, when the sunflowers are starting to harden, that's when the weed breaks are happening. So I'm wondering, should I spray something through a hooded sprayer once those weeds are out there? Is there something I could do? Or should I change something else in my program?
You know, okay, so first of all, in sunflowers, you have so few weed control options. Trifluralin is okay. Sonalan costs like three times as much, but it just flat out is better. And you don't have as much carryover risk with the Sonalan either. So honestly, if you're having a lot of weed problems, then I'm switching to Sonalan as opposed to using trifluralin. The next thing is you can use a group 15 like Zidua. You can also use Spartan, sulfentrazone, and make sure you're using the maximum rate on that. So when you're doing all those things, it's going to help. But are any of those going to be great on sickle pod or Cisbania? No. Unfortunately, they're not. So, you know, we just don't have a lot of great options. And yep, we can talk about Beyond. You could talk about Express Sun sunflowers and using Express on there. Is it going to be perfect? Probably not. So it's a tough deal with sunflowers. I don't have a lot of great options for you. That's where guys have used some hooded sprayers. They've done things like Gramoxone or Roundup or Liberty. You know, if you're going to do that, you've got to be really careful. You just can't get any on the sunflowers. There are a few things for you. You can try using a little more herbicide up front. Hopefully that helps, but sunflowers don't have great crop canopy, and that's why a lot of times late season we do have some weed breaks.
Thanks for the question, David. Good luck with your weed control and your flowers. Just before we leave, I want to mention, too, harvest is rolling along in many parts of the country, including drought-stricken areas. Be very, very careful. Be very fussy about maintenance and cleaning on your combines to try to avoid combine fires and dangerous situations. Thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio.